Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSanctity.com.
How was your date with Phil Totola?
He took it out.
Well, maybe he needed some air. You know, sometimes they need air. They can't breathe in there. It's inhuman.
So she's just sitting there. She's having a pleasant conversation. And all of a sudden...
It. Out.
Out. Wow. I spent so much time trying to get their clothes off, I never thought of taking mine off.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hello, I'm world-famous television news broadcaster Brendan McLaughlin, and you're listening to The Homemade Broadcast. That makes you really smart.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. Welcome back. How are you? Good? Very good. Very good. That's what I like to hear. I'm another year older, another year wiser. I'm shorter of hair. That's right. I cut my friggin' hair off. I feel weird. It's, frankly, I don't feel like myself yet. I've been thinking about it for a little while. I think I even mentioned it on this last show about doing it. And I'm one of those people where I really, it has to be, I just have to be, just do it. Very impulsive. I can't plan it out because I'll wuss out. And I was in a wedding this past weekend, and I figure, oh, this is the perfect time, you know? And I know that, you know, my friend Julie and Matt, who got married, they would not have cared at all if I had long hair or not for their wedding. But, you know, I just wanted to, you know, try something new. It's time. It's been 6 years of growing that out. I started growing it out after one of my ex-girlfriends dumped me, and then I just got depressed for, like, I don't know, 6 months, and then just, you know, kind of let myself go for a little while there, and then kept it up to a certain extent of letting myself go. Not that there's anything wrong with long hair or anything, but I think it really got hammered home when Zach Townsend, we're cruel to each other normally, but... He just said, and he was half joking, I think, but you're too old to look the way you do. And I was like, oh my God, I think you're right. So that was a real eye opener. Don't tell him that though, because he'll get too much joy out of that. So we'll keep that to ourselves. But so yeah, I decided to do it. Went to the rehearsal brunch that Friday, and I said we were supposed to meet up and watch a USF-UCF game. Bummer, great game, by the way. You can't be upset with how USF played that game against the Knights of Orlando over there, the war on I-4. Both teams deserved to win, but one team had to lose. And unfortunately, that was our home team, the University of South Florida Bulls. But so St. Pete Bowl, here we come again. But hey, it was a great year. Glad to have Charlie Strong here. I think we made the right move at coach. I think he's going to stay, I hope. I think if they would have done a little bit better, that might have been a different story. But I think he'll be back next year. Quentin Flowers ending out his career here. Good. Hopefully we get a bowl win, and it'll be a successful season. And hey, congrats to the Knights, too. Our arch rivals, they're going to be playing, I think, in the Peach Bowl. If they beat Memphis, that is, which Memphis is no slouch for certain. So, I don't know. Good luck to UCF. I'll be rooting for you. But anyway, so I went to go. We did the rehearsal brunch. I was supposed to meet up with the gang to go watch that game. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to sneak out and go get my hair cut. And I went to a shop. Well, I started to go. I went to my house, called this local shop here in St. Pete. Chago's is the name. They did a great job, by the way. Go check them out. And I only didn't go to Chrissy Parker, sponsor of Truvy Salon and Spa, because her brother was getting married, so I couldn't have bothered her at that time. But so I started, I got in my truck and started to drive down to the shop after they said, yeah, come on down, we can squeeze you in. And wussed out. Turned around, went back to the house. Chrissy said she'll put my hair in a nice ponytail, braid it up nice, and, you know, I'll do it some other time. And then I had to talk myself into it. You said you were going to do it, so do it. So I did it. I turned the car back around, headed to the shop, walked in. The guy goes, all right, well, what do you want? And I go, I don't know. What? I haven't got my hair cut in 6 years. What styles are there? Just a men's cut? I don't know. So he goes, all right, we'll do a gentleman's cut, he called it. So he grabbed me by the back of my hair, asked me if I wanted to donate my hair. I said yes, and grabbed it really, really tight. And I felt like one of those ancient warriors as they got their ponytail chopped off. I had to actually close my eyes. It was, and just in one fail swoop, just sheared it off within seconds, you know? So I was just left there, and he's holding it up like he just beat me in war. And that was it. And I said, well, there's no turning back now. And there wasn't. So I got my hair cut. Looks good. They did a great job, by the way. Chago's up here in St. Pete. I would recommend them highly. Good dudes over there. And I tell you one thing, though. I wish I would have done, is kept the beard. Holy crap. It is shocking what my face looks like. Thanks, parents, by the way. Cool genetics. It's not good under there. I remembered last time that I did shave fully. I went, why did I do that? That's retarded. I don't know why I did that. And I kind of knew it was going to be the case, you know, this time as well. But I thought, well, maybe my face is a little better since the last time. Mm-mm. It's not. It's the same face that I've always had. So I started to shave. And, you know, the thing about it is they cut it pretty short. Like, it's shaved, basically, pretty much, with a little bit on top. And it looked goofy because my beard doesn't really connect into my upper part near my ear anyways. I just have a few sprinkles there. And, you know, they kind of trim that when they trim the hair. So it looked kind of dumb the way it was placed. So I was like, all right, I got to cut it off. So I started shaving the upper half towards there. I was like, all right, this isn't so bad. And then I considered leaving the goatee. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. This isn't 1992. We're not doing the goatee, dude. So I said, all right, so I got to go. And I went right underneath and got rid of the rest. And then went, oh, my God, what have I done? I look like a 12-year-old lesbian is what I look like. It was bad. But, you know, the facial hair comes back faster than actual hair. And I like my haircut. I think I'm going to roll with the short hair for a while. But the beard is coming back ASAP, okay? I'm not making that mistake again. I can tell you that much. But anyways, yeah, so that was my weekend. Great wedding. Congrats to Julie and Matt Parker. It was a really fun wedding. Poor Julie was... I'm so sorry it's on your birthday. Like she was considering changing it or something. I was like, don't worry about it. It's fine. This is 33. This isn't a, you know, a big one here. And actually I had that thing too, like, you know, I'm a grown-up person now. I'm a man now. I don't know, you know, if my parents are really going to, like, get me birthday gifts anymore. I certainly don't expect it. But I figured they would, you know. I mean, because they have up the past 32 years, so I figured they would. And I had a thing that I, you know, there's stuff that, like, the best gift at this point now is things that are bought for you that you don't want to buy yourself, but either that you want or you need is even better. Last year, I got MeUndies for my mom for Christmas, the underwear that they sell online. Amazing purchase. Did not want to buy those myself. Got those for Christmas. Best thing that's ever happened to me. And she pretty much just asked me, you know, like, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, and I told her. She goes, really, that's it? And I said, mm-hmm. And I got them. And like I said, best thing that's ever happened to me. So my dad's a little different. Me and my dad are pretty similar, both cheap. and but mean well, and like to take a keen interest in things that we're doing. But if I don't tell my dad like what I want, he just picks something out, and it's always like something in the wheelhouse. Like he always does a good job with like picking out gifts. Like I think last year he got me a speaker for because I was doing the comedy shows. You know, he thought, well, maybe you can use the speaker at some point, which was a great idea. And but unfortunately, I tried to use the speaker, and being that we are cheap, it was a very cheap speaker. It doesn't really work that well for its purpose that we needed it for. We tried to use it at Yard of Ale, I remember, a couple times, and it just didn't work. So I wanted headphones. I wanted a nice pair of headphones. You know, I got the radio show with The Bone Monday through Friday, midnight's 1 a.m., by the way, with Anna Hummel. Yeah, so that's happening. So I wanted a nice pair of headphones. I have some ones here that are, you know, they're fine, but they're on the cheap end because I, too, am cheap. But I wanted these. I looked up, you know, did the research, and found the headphones I wanted. So I was debating, like, do you tell somebody what to get for you? I don't really know what to do, and it seems awfully presumptuous to do so. But so I just sent him a text message, and I was like, look, I don't know, you know, what you're doing, but if you are planning on getting me something, I would like the Sony MDR7506 or whatever it was. That's the model. Gave it the model, the exactly what I wanted to the T. And sure enough, I went and saw them on Thanksgiving, and those were in a bag for me. So I got the new headphones on, and they're friggin' awesome. Cool purchase, Dad. I don't know how you knew, but these things are sick. So yeah, that was pretty good. And I was talking to him too, and he was like, you know, I've listened to your show. He subscribes to two podcasts only. He subscribes to Buck Sexton Podcast, which is a super conservative dude who talks about politics and stuff, and my show. And I was like, oh, wow, that's cool, man. Thank you. You know, he's like, you know, it's always entertaining. I always like it. Though the one you did by yourself a couple weeks ago, that was a little boring. And I go, I understand that. But guess what? This show... all by my lonesome. That's right. Sorry, Dad. Gonna have to listen to this. That sucks for you. No, it's gonna be good though. I actually kind of prepared this one. There's nothing like convincing. I don't. It sounds like I'm trying to convince myself this is gonna be good, but it is gonna be good. I'm a professional broadcaster now. Okay, I'm on the radio 5 days a week. Not just podcasts, but the real radio. Okay, so you can't tell me my show is not good because I have proof that the people at Cox Media Group believe in me to run a show 5 nights a week. That's right. If you want to get a hold of this show, call in 813-693-2124. It's not monitored, of course, but you can leave a message, you can leave a text. You can do all that good stuff there. Like I said, not monitored. Well, it's monitored, but I'm not going to like answer the phone and talk to you. So yeah, leave a message, questions, concerns, any of that good stuff, feel free to do so. Keep up with us at HMB Radio on Facebook page, Radio St. Pete on Facebook, home_made_man on Twitter and Instagram, and Radio St. Pete, yes, on Instagram and Twitter. And check out RadioSt.Pete.com. Check out TampaBayPodcast.com. We have all the original programming, talk programming, on that one website right there. You can tune in anytime, and it's on demand. So you should do that. And I want to say thank you to our sponsors, of course. First, homemadepodcasts.com. That's right, homemadepodcasts with an S.com. Reach businesses through podcasting. I believe in this company wholeheartedly because it's my company. So it's a good way to reach potential clientele, existing clientele with products and services that you're offering. And to get more info, free consultation, check out homemadepodcasts with an S.com. And Tap House 61, that's right, Tap House 61, 2061 Central Avenue. Where'd they come up with the name? Oh my God, it's right in the name, do you see? Right in the address, 2061 Central Avenue, right here in St. Petersburg. The best place to go get beers. It's pretty much there, or that's about it. And I don't go out anymore. So that's where I'm hanging out at. Make sure you come visit taphouse61.com and check out their Facebook page for all the cool events they got. They got a trivia night They're doing music. They got a bunch of cool stuff. Completely redone. It's awesome. And Truvy Salon and Spa. Now I can't say that Chrissy's the only one to touch my hair in almost 10 years because that's not true anymore. But I definitely would have gone to her if I had another person's wedding that wasn't her brother. I could tell you that much. 8908 4th Street North. That's Truvy Salon and Spa. T-R-U-V as in Victor. Y Salon and Spa.com. And they're having a Christmas party. I know she invited me to that. I don't know if that's like open to the public, but I'm pretty sure it is. So go check out her Facebook page. You can come and get some champagne and wine and enjoy the holidays with Truvy Salon Spa. I'll probably be over there too for that. So I think it's next week or this week, maybe. I don't know. I should know. I know. I'm a professional broadcaster now, but I don't know. So I want to talk about the big news of the week, which is the Seminole Heights suspect, anyways, appears to have been captured after almost 60 days of terrorizing the community. This dude has been caught. His name is Hal Emanuel Donaldson III. And late Tuesday, Tampa police announced the end of a 51-day search. Police had arrested the man investigators believe was responsible for the four slayings in Seminole Heights. Hal Emanuel Donaldson, a 24-year-old Tampa man, faces four counts of murder in the deaths of Benjamin Mitchell, Monica Hoffa, Anthony Nyboa, and Ronald Felton. Here are the seven things you need to know about him from the Tampa Bay Times. Donaldson, who went by the name Trey, worked at McDonald's in Tampa. On Tuesday, police said he asked a coworker to hold on to his Glock while he went to cash a check. The coworker got police involved, and it's that gun, among other evidence, police say the 24-year-old linked him to all four killings. He told the coworker he planned to leave the state. Number two, he bought the gun October 3rd at a gun shop called Shooter's World on East Fletcher Avenue, according to police report. Receipts show he picked up after a mandatory waiting period of 4 days later, along with a 20-round box of 40-caliber ammunition. Police say that the shell casings, the first three murder scenes match the gun admitted to purchase. You know what I'm saying. I'm really terrible at reading out loud. So what about the other murder then? I guess it was a different gun. There's only three. I remember they were saying that you should check and make sure your gun is where you left it because they thought maybe he's the person that was, you know, committing these things that stole a gun. So I wonder if that's still the case or I don't know. He was born in North Carolina, according to the arrest report. He graduated from Alonzo High School in 2011 after beginning there midway through his junior year. He was at Tampa Catholic before that, and he played basketball there. And he did not live in Seminole Heights. Police suspected the killer could live in the neighborhood, and that's why he was able to quickly disappear after each killing. Donaldson family believes in the Sulphur... Oh, my God. I'm the worst. Donaldson's family lives in the Sulphur Springs neighborhood. He told police he was unfamiliar with the area, identified as the Seminole Heights neighborhood, and he did not have any association with that area. Number five. Donaldson attended St. John's University in New York beginning the fall of 2011 and graduated in 2017, according to a school spokesman. Working at McDonald's, that degree, he must have got an English degree because not paying off. He was on the basketball team as a walk-on in 2011-2012, but never played a game. The gun is not the only thing tying him to the four killings. Investigators say cell phone data shows he was in the Southeast Seminole Heights area on the dates and times of the first three murders. Other phone records show him geographically associated with the areas of all four murders. They also found blood on a hoodie, and that matched what the man had seen in the surveillance footage as what he was wearing in the killings. He was booked into Hillsborough County Jail this morning. Okay, so we know nothing, pretty much. No motive, no... It seems like a... You know, of course, the great thing about you know, Twitter and the internet is that you have all this stuff at your fingertips. It's right there. And so you saw what the kid looks like. He's a good-looking young kid. And, you know, seems like he's, like, middle class, kind of. I don't, it's hard to tell from the pics, but that's, you know, what it appears from the pictures I've seen. And no motive. So he's just a creep that, I guess, like, kills people for fun, I guess. That appears to be the case. No motive, no indication of one in this story. And, you know, they don't know anything. Like, the TV, Tampa Bay Times doesn't know anything. They got the arrest report and wrote this and put it out there for clicks, pretty much. But, you know, people are curious, and I'm sure it got a lot of clicks. I was curious, and I read it on my show. I was so curious about it. So, and I wanted to share it with you. How Emmanuel Donaldson III. Another thing about the Twitter, too, is that I saw people automatically just responding, like, harassing people, pretty much. Like, they found the last name, Donaldson, and found somebody that kind of looked like him that maybe could have potentially been his sister, took a screenshot of the photo and said, "Is this your brother? You know he's a killer," or something. And it's like, what does that person have to do with it? It's not him. I'm sure they're mortified by it. I'm sure they're not cheering him on. And they, like, tweeted at the St. John's basketball team, like, "Hey, do you know a killer played for you?" It's like, what do you want St. John's? How do you want St. John's to respond to that? He didn't even play a full season, number one, and never played a game. But he's just a guy that went there. This is a deeper look into the mindset of what I think our culture is doing. It's guilt by association. If A equals B, then B equals C, even though they're all completely different things. And that's, you know, we don't need a trial anymore for this stuff. You're guilty until proven innocent. And so please don't harass, you know, family members on social media. What is wrong with you? They have nothing to do with this, for God's sakes. But hopefully this brings, you know, some sense of stability back to the area. I mean, I was even freaking out down here, man. Like, you know, you feel like, well, he's in Seminole Heights. You know, the police are actively searching for him in Seminole Heights. What's stopping him from, I'm sure he's got a car, right? Or a bus. What's stopping him from coming over to St. Pete and just start, you know, popping people over here? I'm out late at night, you know. I don't get home until 1:30 at night. Just be walking to your car, and that's it, you know. You're gone. So, I mean, it was a little nerve-wracking even, but I can only imagine what it was like for the people that were actually in Seminole Heights. So hopefully this brings some peace to the victim's family. It looks like, I mean, of course, this is going to go to trial, and there's a long, arduous process, but sounds like they got the cell phone, they got the murder weapon of at least three of those killings. So sounds like they got the right guy in this case. So keep your fingers crossed, and hopefully that is the case. So what do you think? Do you feel better? Are you less concerned, more concerned? Same? Call me, text me, 813-693-2124. That's 813-693-2924. I had that number, like, memorized, right? And it just popped out of my head. 813-693-2124. That's correct. Or you can always go to hmbradio.com, go to the contact section, and you can find all that info right there. Well, we got some good news, of course, which was that. And now we got some not-so-good news. Or, you know, maybe it's good news. Or just, you know, news. We'll just call it that. Tampa Bay misses out on MLS expansion for this time. The Rowdies, no MLS to St. Pete this go-around. Major League Soccer named its four finalists for the two available expansion teams. And as expected, Tampa-St. Petersburg was not among them. Yes, the league will consider Cincinnati, Detroit, Nashville, and Sacramento when it meets on December 6th to hear about its formal presentations. The leaders of Cincinnati, Detroit, Nashville, and Sacramento MLS expansion ownership groups have bold visions and innovative plans for their clubs, stadiums, and their involvement in their respective communities, the commissioner Don Garber said in his statement. We are pleased that these highly respected businesses and sports leaders have been so determined to bring Major League Soccer to their cities. We have been greatly encouraged by the progress that all four of these groups have made. And we're looking forward to their presentations. And said Tampa can go suck it. No, he didn't say that at all. After each city is given a chance to make their pitch to the league, the Board of Governors will meet on December 14th to continue discussions with their representatives from every MLS club. The league expects to name two expansion teams by the end of the year. While Tampa Bay was left out of this round of the expansion cities, the MLS does plan to add additional two teams to at a later date, and Tampa St. Pete will join Charlotte, Indianapolis, Phoenix, and Raleigh, Durham, St. Louis, San Antonio, and San Diego as cities considered for these expansion spots. MLS currently has 22 teams and will expand to Los Angeles next season. I thought they already had a team. Doesn't Los Angeles Galaxy, wasn't that like the big team? I don't know. A team is expected to be placed in Miami. The league plans to expand to 28 teams. Rowdy's owner, Billy Edwards, my man Bill, my hero, one of my personal heroes, actually. I wonder if that guy would come on the show if I just, I guess, send him an email and see. I think he's a pretty private dude, though, so probably not. Said in a statement that their franchise is not discouraged. Rather, Rowdies were not one of the four expansion finalists. MLS made it clear that we remain in consideration for the expansion spots to be announced at a later date, said Edwards, 72. I personally had a medical setback, double bypass surgery, that put us behind, but undaunted. I continue to invest in the refining of our stadium plan and other elements of our bid to make sure it is strong and competitive as possible, and remain in communication with the commissioner of MLS, and I firmly believe that this MLS expansion will come to pass. That sounds exactly like Bill Edwards. That's how he talks, by the way. So that was a really good impression. So, yeah, we didn't get MLS. That's kind of a bummer. It would have been cool to have another professional sports, you know, league and team in, right here in downtown St. Petersburg. I don't think the Rays are staying, unfortunately. I'm okay, you know, with the Rays going to Tampa and everything. I get it, okay? But it would be nice to have, like, you know, some sort of major league presence here in the city. Even, you know, it's across the bridge and everything. I get it. It's not that big of a deal. But, you know, it would have been nice. What do you think? 813-693-2124. Are you bummed the Rowdies aren't going to be an MLS franchise? I tell you, the Rowdies games are super fun. I don't really understand the game of soccer. It's widely joked about in my circle of friends, but it's really fun, and it's like it's pretty much like hockey on grass, from what I can tell, for the most part. And you use, you know, your feet instead of a stick. But it seems like they have offsides, and you know, as you watch it, you kind of pick up the game as it goes along. And fans here are super passionate about the game down here. The games are always packed. I like that Bill Edwards is going to sink his own money into upgrading the stadium so the taxpayer didn't have to foot the bill on it, as many of these other owners are ought to do, you know, in these scenarios. Well, they'll threaten to leave unless you give them millions and millions and millions of dollars to upgrade their stadiums. Scumbags. Buy your own damn stadium, you billionaire. What the hell? I mean, at least share some of the cost. My God. But no, you're stuck with it, dummy. You want us here? You want us here? Well, guess what? Give me money. That's extortion, okay? I got news for you. But, like, Bill Edwards is going to sink his own cash into it. The guy made a lot of money. He's really invested in the Rowdies, and he wants to have a successful, you know, team here, and, you know, it would have been nice for him to get into MLS. It would have been cool. But, you know, they're still in the running in the future. And I think eventually it'll definitely happen for sure. And especially I think if the Rays do move to Tampa and there's only one sporting. Well, no, that's not true. I mean, even they got little leagues. There's rugby. They got, of course, the St. Pete Swans, which are heard here on Radio St. Pete. Australian League football. There's stuff like that. But if there's, you know, a major... a sport that is here right here in downtown St. Pete, and it's the only one in town, I think people are even going to adopt the Rowdies even more. And I didn't really realize how much of a soccer town, you know, Tampa is. I think the USA training, developmental, like for the national team, is right here in Brandon, right in Tampa there. And that's where all the, you know, all the kids go to learn how to play soccer. The best. It's the best of the best learn how to play. So soccer is huge in this area. I think it's only a matter of time before the Rowdies get back in MLS contention, and it's going to be great. So let me know what you think. 813-693-2124. Tweet me home_made_man. Let me know what you think about the Rowdies. This is the Homemade Broadcast here on RadioSaintPete.com and HMBRadio.com. If you're not subscribed to the podcast, be sure you do so. You don't want to miss me reading out loud. It truly is a comedy of errors, isn't it, folks? And you don't want to miss out on that stuff. So subscribe. If you search iTunes and Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts, just search HMB Radio, and it should come up. But if you had the Tampa Bay, it definitely is going to come up. You click that button, say subscribe, and then while you're there, leave a quick review. You know, even if you leave one star, if you're like, this guy is illiterate, and I don't want to listen to this again, but I'm going to leave one star. Fine. That's fair enough. That's your opinion. I will value it. I will try to improve. I'm going to try to get smarter as I gain years and knowledge. I'm going to do that for you, okay? But I just want to, you know, give you the opportunity to express yourself. And those ratings really help us out as far as the rankings go, where you're placed in those lists and all that. So if you wouldn't mind, just please go ahead and leave a review, leave some stars, say, you know, whatever you want. I don't care. You can curse me out. Do whatever you want. Just take some time and do that. And, yeah, I got stickers, too, by the way, if you haven't heard. I do. I still have some. I got a bunch of them. If you email me at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com, send me your address. I think my DMs are open on Twitter, too, so if you send me your address there, I'll put some in an envelope and deliver them personally to your home. That's right. I'll do that for you because I appreciate it. And if you don't want me to do that, I completely understand. I don't blame you. What we can do is I can just put a stamp on there and then just throw them in the mailbox. And then the mail carrier, person of undesignated gender, will come and drop those stickers off to you. So, again, just email me your address. That's all you got to do. To thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. Or you can leave the voicemail or the text, 813-693-2124. Pushing the phone number this week. I keep forgetting I have it. It's a valuable tool, okay? Inside baseball here. So do you remember the cop that was at the Miami game a little while ago, and they were arresting a drunk lady, and the lady was in turn punching the cops as they carried her out, and then the one cop took a swing at her and hit her right in the face, and then she stopped hitting them after that because she was knocked unconscious or at least dazed. Well, that cop videotaped striking a drunk woman in the face at a football game was cleared of wrongdoing. That's right. The Miami-Dade police officers, whose cat quick strike to the drunken lady's face at a Miami Hurricanes game earlier this month that was captured on video and seen by thousands, or if not millions around the world, and laughed at least by me, has been cleared of any wrongdoing. 3 weeks ago, Miami officer Douglas Ross reacted to a backhand slap. It was clearly, I don't know, it really wasn't a, she was, I know girls can't punch, okay? And sorry, girls. I know there are a few of you take MMA classes that can. But she was definitely trying to do her best to punch him. So while it was probably more of a slap than a punch, that was the best this drunk lady could do, okay? And, you know, he went ahead and smacked her back. And he's a big, tall dude and managed to get her to stop doing that pretty quick. According to the use of force report reported provided on Wednesday to the Herald, The supervisors found the 18-year police veteran's actions were within departmental rules. Miami-Dade police, blah, 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 while noting that the optics were less optimal, said that the bottom line is that the officers don't distinguish between males and females when throwing a punch. Well, what do you think about that? Because we've learned growing up that you should never, under any circumstance, hit a lady. That's what my parents taught me. I remember I got beat up by a girl on my street. Jessica was her name. And she was a little bitch. Sorry, but she was. She was not a nice girl. And she beat me up. I was probably like, I don't know, 7 or something. And it was humiliating even then because I knew even then I could easily beat this girl up. But I was told, under no circumstance, are you to hit a lady. That's not how this works, you know what I mean? You can't do that. They're the fairer sex. And I think boys are still taught that. And I think girls take advantage of that. Don't you? But not cops. No, they don't distinguish that. Did it look pretty? No, said Perez, but he instinctively reacted to being... And the guy looked like... I mean, it was only a few seconds, this clip, maybe a minute. And you could tell on his face he was more annoyed than anything. He's like, oh, jeez, she's hitting him. Oh, God, stop. Will you stop it? Stop it. Stop it. Stop it! Bam! That was it. The report was written by Ross's supervisor and recounted what police had said happened in the stands at the Hard Rock Stadium earlier this month when a UM played a pivotal game against Virginia Tech. The most raucous? Is that a word? Probably not. Crowd in almost 2 decades. And that, of course, means drunk. Everybody's getting hammered. According to the report, Ross and other off-duty officers responded to Section 129 to help remove Freitas, who was acting unruly, cursing and fighting with other fans. When they tried to remove her, she resisted, at one point grabbing onto the pole on the steps and refusing to leave. This is another problem with with our culture these days. If a cop tells you to go, go. You won't have these problems with getting beat up by cops if you just listen to them. Call them an ass if you want to. I wouldn't advise it. You can curse at them, though. They can't really do anything about it. You might make them mad, though, and then you might have a scenario on your hands where they might rough you up a little bit. But even the president, our current president, said you just seethe with these things, and that would, I know nobody likes a president, but he's kind of got a point there. You know, if you run into these occasions, just grit your teeth. And I've had run-ins with the cops. I know how it is. But you can't fight City Hall. You know, that's the old saying, and it's true. You can file a formal complaint later, and especially if you're drunk, just don't you have... I've never had that with the voice in your head. You know, that's... I always have a voice in my head that's not drunk, even if I'm hammered. That's says, hey, don't do that. You've had too much. Take an Uber. Don't go home with that girl. Come on, you're better than this. Have some self-confidence in yourself. I mean, it's always there, and it's sober, and I think everybody does. And most people just tell it to shut up and then do what they want. But don't tell that voice to shut up. And don't grab a pole at a football game when you're fighting with other fans and say, I'm not going anywhere. Because guess what? You're going somewhere. One way or another, you are going. Okay? Finally, the 4 officers were able to tear her away and lift Freitas onto their shoulders. Her arms and legs unrestrained. Freitas began falling back or flailing her hands and eventually striking Ross in the left eye with a backhand after missing her attempt at a first slap. Yeah, she sloppily tried to drunkenly do the best she could with a punch and missed the first one and hit him with the second time. And Ross responded immediately with a straight right hand. Really funny stuff, too, if you check out the video. I mean, I know it's a lady, but she wasn't acting very ladylike in this occasion. Sorry. The report says Ross struck Freitas in the face with an open hand and that she wasn't injured. I don't know. It looked like it was closed to me. Maybe not. It's hard to tell in the widely watched cell phone video taken by a guy and other fans in the stands. The video shows Freitas striking Ross and responding immediately, and her head snapping backward after she collapses. But the back of the officer's head blocks a clear view into whether the strike was open or closed-handed. Who cares if it was? You can't hit cops. You can't hit anybody. Keep your hands to yourself. Stop hitting people. Being drunk is no excuse. The report, The department's internal affairs office never opened an investigation into Ross's actions because no one, including Freitas, filed a complaint. Well, good. I'm glad she at least probably realized, oh my God, what an idiot I was, and I probably deserved it. The Herald made several unsuccessful attempts to contact Freitas, including visiting her home in Broward County. She was arrested the night of her confrontation with Ross and charged with battery on a law enforcement officer and disorderly conduct. Ross, who has been with the department since 1999, works within the Warrants Bureau. His evaluations over the years have ranged from good to excellent. Baez's decision was in conflict with the views of some outside use of force experts who said Freitas should have been restrained before the officers lifted her up. Okay, sure. But you're also in a stadium with 100,000 people, and everybody's drunk and disorderly, and she's fighting with other people, and they probably want to get her the hell out of there right away, and so they can restrain her. She's a lady. You know, she's not hard to restrain. They had also said an officer throwing a punch is almost always a bad idea and results in the injured suspect or the cop hurting his hand. Yeah. Perez, the police director, said department of policy is to handcuff or restrain the suspect right away, but the circumstances of the game with 63,000 fans and Freitas physically refusing orders warranted a different response. In this case, it did not stop her, said the director, but we don't encourage anyone to punch someone else in the face. So what do you think? Is this cop in the wrong? Is the lady in the wrong? Call me, 813-693-2124. We'll play your messages next week, or text, or whatever you want to say. Yeah, the best way to deal with cops is be nice and respectful whenever you see them. Nobody's a big fan of cops. Even if you're not, you know, breaking the law, you're always paranoid when cops are around because they're, you know, the long arm of the law and the government, and you know, nobody likes those guys. And you know, just if you're nice to them, though, hey, how are you? And if you're pulled over, leave your hands on the steering wheel and be polite. And most of the time, it's going to go well for you. I've invoked that strategy a few times, and it's always gone well. I also understand I'm a white male, and I don't look threatening at all. So I get that, too. That probably goes into it, plays into it a little bit. I'm not going to lie, but, you know, don't strike cops and tell them to go F off when they're telling you to leave. That would probably be the best case scenario. 813-693-2124. And this is the Homemade Broadcast here on RadioSt.Pete.com and on podcast always at HMBRadio.com. And I think, is it time to go? It might be time to go. Did I get through this whole thing? I'm sorry you had to listen to me read out loud, Dad and other listeners. I apologize, but you know, sometimes it's good for you. You're spoiled sometimes with these great guests that we have, and you don't realize what you got until you have to hear me read out loud. So I'm just killing some time here so I can find an out song that I can play. So yeah, I'm just doing that until then. Oh, there we go. Look at that. Isn't that nice? Yes. This is the Homemade Broadcast. My name is Will Kuntz. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, make sure you stay tuned for Frank Rivera's Jazz Show coming up next. The Indie Circuit coming up after that on Radio St. Pete. And catch a replay Mondays 10:15 on Radio St. Pete, 4:15 a.m. Again on Tuesday, and always on podcast Tuesday morning, 6 a.m. Unless I forget to upload it, which I did with last week's. It happens, you know. Sorry, not perfect. Check out HMBRadio.com. Listen to the shows, TampaBayPodcast.com, HMBRadio.com. Lots of websites, you know? Next week, Rhonda Shear is calling in. She's a comedian, former political candidate, feminist lady, just wrote a book, comedian. She's an entrepreneur. She sells stuff on HSN, has made a ton of money. So she's going to be calling in, talking about her new book that's coming out very soon on Amazon. And I'm going to ask her advice and what she thinks. So if you got a question for Rhonda, guess what? Leave a voicemail, 813-693-2124. That's the best way to get a hold of the show, hmbradio.com. Yes, yes, yes. I'm sorry. I'm bogging you down. My name is Will Koontz. This is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. I will talk to you next week. Have a fantastic one, folks. Bye-bye.